Man.
Blog
Y'all in the building, y'all. Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, y'all.
This is Rated R.
That's the sounds of the song when they got Mr. Hook. We appreciate y'all for calling in. What we're going to do is we're going to wait to, we have, you know, all the callers that we were looking forward to call in, most of them to get on the show, which usually takes a few seconds or whatever, no more than about the end of this song, and, we want to begin with the show. We thank y'all for calling in, we thank y'all for being a part of us today. This is the Movement 720, we ride y'all. Thank you. I see our special guest is riding with us today. We appreciate you, sis. We really appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in with us. We will be starting the show in a few minutes. We'd just like to give the callers time to call in and be online before we start the show. Thank you for joining the Movement 720. All good. How y'all doing this evening? Today is a very important day. I like to say that we thank you for tuning in with us today. This is the Movement 720, y'all. Blog Talk Show that is a forum for change, growth, unity, community outreach, and making sure that the truth about the injustices that go on throughout the state of Mississippi, penal system, and their judicial system the truth is told about that. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. I have my host with me today, Queen Kahara, and we're doing what we're going to do. We're doing what we do every week, just reaching out to the people and teaching people and making sure that everyone knows what goes on and what needs to be done. We try to give advice. We try to give you wisdom and understanding what goes on. We try to assist you in any kind of way possible for those who have loved ones on the inside, on ways to combat in a positive, productive way, the different things that their family members go through each and every day in the penal system. It's very vital that you all pay attention. It's very vital that you people stay in tune with what's going on, because lives are at stake and it's very serious. With that being said, as always, it's Noisy in the Box. That's how we do in the studio. We allow people to be themselves and enjoy the atmosphere. So we're going to begin our show. The title of the show today is Exposing MDOC. Before we begin, I want to say that we started off the season with that title. But during the process of pushing this movement that we have, a lot of things have occurred. And we felt that it was very vital that we come back again and do a round two, sort of like a follow-up on this topic. With that being said, we got Sister Hira coming on. I had something that I wanted to share with the people today, sis, and from there I'm going to let you take off. It's something that I really need to make sure they hear it. I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is something that needs to be known. For all you listening, there's a poem that was posted attached to some photographs, atrocious photographs of the living conditions and food that they were serving in Mississippi State Penitentiary, which is Parchment, Mississippi, located in Parchment, Mississippi, which I'll speak on in a few seconds. The title of this poem was titled Exposing MDOC. And the poem goes as follows. Can you imagine fighting to change your fate in an already crooked system? In a state more inspired by hate and race than actual discipline. Now, this may not be the case for some, but most can say that it's true. That the time for Mississippi's penal system to be exposed is past due. Only in Mississippi are inmates forced to eat dinner at 12 at night and forced to sleep in cells infested with insects and mice. No cleaning supplies to clean their living quarters. No water boil signs, although administration knows there's contaminated water. Mold on the walls, poor lighting in the cells. All the doctor prescribes is ibuprofen and expects the inmates to get well. Inmates are forced to comfort their cellmates. And as they take their last breath, an hour and 35, the time it takes for help to arrive. How can they make it when they took that much time to get there? When tears are shed and the spirit of the dead disturb the tranquility of those seeking rehabilitation, the burden of seeing, hearing, and feeling these experiences are a dangerous combination in its manifestation. Therefore, there is no real rehabilitation. Almost $1 million a year to provide education, but they're not letting them go to school. Someone advised our legislation that the people that pay taxes in the state want to know what MDOC is doing. How can they possess so much of taxpayers' money and treat the inmates like they're not human? How are so many people dying from cancer or of natural causes when they're young and healthy? Tell them to give you answers of what the commissioners have done to become wealthy. Here they constantly keep inmates on lockdown, barely letting them get showers, tampering with their mail, practice illegal disciplinary procedures. They have no officers watching the inmates in the guard towers. $20 collect calls, unhealthy food service, no recreation, just surviving on his own. They complain of being short of staff, but all of them seem to have enough staff doing search and seizures for cell phones. They don't want the media to know the truth. MDOC has secrets they try to hide, but the truth is the Mississippi Department of Corrections is an inefficient management agency practicing and participating in genocide. Many have died and are still dying. What about the mothers who are still crying, not receiving any answers but still trying? Even if you can't feel these lines, this is my pain, please feel mine. There's still time to save our lives. Demand an investigation on MDOC, a corporation of crime. Now, this poem was written by an inmate housed in MDOC, and he went through these things in Unit 29. He went through a lot of issues dealing with staff, living conditions and things of that nature. But I want to catch y'all up. During this time frame, a lot of things happened. A lot of guys filed complaints. A lot of family members spoke out. But Tyra, I didn't say this in the first show, and I think it was a misunderstanding, because we talked about the death in the year of 2018. But the public needs to know that in August of 2018, there were 16 deaths between the ages of 24 and 75. One of those deaths, the cause of death was a fight. But all the other reasons were given were natural causes. Okay. Mississippi State Penitentiary, known as a Parchman Farm, is what they call it, Parchman Farm. It's the oldest in the state, established in 1901. It holds approximately 4,840 inmates. Okay. It has one of the highest incarceration rates. But check this out. Felicia Hall, the commissioner, says she's seeking assistance from others outside the department in the interest of transparency dealing with these deaths. Now, there was a woman by the name of Alma Dunning. She had a son by the name of Lucius Bolton. He was dealing with late-stage stomach cancer, and the prison wouldn't tell her where he was. He was complaining about being sick. She tried to call and get him assistance. They refused. I also have the link that I'm going to post too on Facebook and on Twitter too, for those who want to read about this. But he eventually went to the hospital, and the mother was calling. They wouldn't tell her where he was. She pleaded with the prison officials. They refused. They cited his poor disciplinary record behind bars. They gave her all different type of reasons, like 4 days of her calling. They gave her the runaround. Like I said, they even spoke on his disciplinary behavior. But understand this. The chaplain called this woman saying that she could see him, but he probably wouldn't survive the night. Mind you that his mother at the time lived in Houston, Texas, okay? In the act of her trying to find a flight, you know, immediately she got off the phone trying to find a flight. And 20 minutes later, she got a call. I'm speaking right now directly to the parents. I'm speaking to people who have loved ones, kids, anybody that's incarcerated right now. 20 minutes later, she got a call stating that her son was deceased. This brother left behind a wife and a 10-year-old daughter, and still trying to get answers. But the state medical examiner was told that he had gave a statement saying that he had a deep backlog on the autopsies. Okay, moving forward, Felicia Hall stated that 12 deaths is not out of line, because at the point that she was first notified, it had already been 12 deaths. So I want y'all to, you know, pay attention with me and keep up with what I'm trying to say. After 12 deaths, that's when she was notified about something was wrong, okay? But she stated that it is not out of line with the number of deaths in previous months. But the Mississippi Department of Corrections didn't respond to this request for the data supporting this claim. So when you research from 2001 to 2014, an average of 51 deaths per year. That's an average of 4 a month. But in response to this, the governor's spokesman, y'all listen to what I'm saying, the governor's spokesman and MDOC spokesman did not return requests for comments on this. I was kind of digging on this right here. There was a guy by the name of Cliff Johnson. He's the director of MacArthur Justice Center at the University of Mississippi Law School. This is what he stated. He said, I believe that the deaths are the result of a long-term malnourishment, lack of inadequate health care services, and exposure to conditions that take a terrible toll on the body and mind. Therefore, these deaths were not natural causes deaths. Okay? He also stated that Mississippi's leaders pay no political price whatsoever for abhorrent conditions or inmates' deaths. So, upon study, it's understood that Mississippi, in the eyes of the public, the Mississippi Department of Corrections, in the eyes of the public, are pull the wool over the eyes of the public so that they won't see what's really transparent. The commissioner herself spoke of transparency, but their infractions, their illegalities, the atrocious behavior that happens each and every day in this prison system that she's over, it's nothing that can be hid. Right now, the world knows about this. I want to take the time to commend everybody and thank everybody who participated in making sure that the word was out. And as you can see, there was a resolution behind it. There was a positive outcome behind that. Anytime that you come together in unity, I keep telling y'all, I say this every week, when you come together and unify and you stand, there's going to be a result. It might not always be the perfect result, but you're going to get results. Before I speak on SMCI real quick, Tahir, I want to say this. In anything that you do, you're going to have speed bumps, you're going to have negative people, you're going to have people that's going to tell you that you can't do it. I was told this today by somebody that I really, really respect. Really respect. When you have people trying to do something that's good, when you're trying to do something that's good, if you allow the negative comments, the negative pitfalls, or anything that comes to disturb the path that you're on, or the things that you're doing that's good, those things are there to distract you. We talked about distractions on shows prior to this, but distractions are there to prevent you from accomplishing your goals. As an adult, as a human being, as an inmate, as a parent, we have to keep pushing. The only way that we're going to achieve our goals is keep pushing, to not be deterred by negativity, because those things are set there to prevent you from accomplishing your goals. And I'm going to prove that by saying this. Immediately after this post almost went viral about the inmates and the poem that I just read, immediately after that, another post came that showed an inmate with supposedly a gun and some more pictures, and it stated something about violence. Now all of a sudden, it's an issue about the prison system being violent, okay? I have one thing to say about that. First of all, to elaborate on it and clear the air on that situation, the gun that was posted on that picture was not a real gun. Through investigation, we found out that was a picture that was cut out, and guys took a razor blade or whatever and carved the cardboard out behind it and taped it to it to make it look like a real gun and took a picture like that. So y'all don't understand, those guys inside are smart. They know how to do things, draw things. They're very talented. So that was portrayed as a negative image, and it was used to block off the attention that was getting for how bad MDOC was treating their inmates. This was a form of distraction to make people look back on them as inmates that are violent, to deter the public's opinion about these guys. Oh, maybe we show them how violent they are, they're going to stop trying to support them. You know what I'm saying? But we can't be deterred by that. The truth will come to the light about a lot of those issues. The thing about that is, keep pushing. Don't let stuff like that affect you. Don't let stuff like that make you feel like, okay, we can't get this done now, because we are going to get it done. Amazing progress so far. SMCI, established in 1989. Population approximately 3,204. These guys are currently on lockdown. They've been on lockdown for months due to being understaffed. Okay, I got a message today, and I was told to ask, why are they still sending inmates to an already understaffed facility? They have told the public that the visitation and other rights afforded to inmates are discontinued until further notice due to it being unsafe for the public. But they are sending more inmates to this facility every day. Something is not adding up. Now, before I close and yield, sis, I looked up something today. I was trying to figure out what they had going on with SNCI. And when I looked, I seen a post, which it was actually a link. And when I tapped the link and looked on there, it showed that they had posted, and I want to say this, I really want to say this verbatim. It says that SMCI is no longer on lockdown. The South Mississippi Correctional Institution has been taken off lockdown. I made sure I circled it for you too, Tahir. I'm going to make sure I send it to you after the show. These people are lying. They're lying to the public. And when you're bold enough to lie to the public about what you're doing inside a prison, then you are showing that you participate in illegal activities, because if you're not telling the truth and you are a government agency, that's illegal. It is their job and their responsibility to make sure the public knows the truth about what goes on. There's no secrets, because the taxpayers are the people that made sure this prison was built. So we have to understand what our rights are as taxpayers. When we ask these people questions, they are supposed to answer. That's why they have spokespersons and secretaries and different things like that, so that they'll be able to give the public answers that they need to provide them with whatever assistance that they need to help those loved ones that they have on the inside. We're going to attack this. I want to say that right now. We're going to try to do everything we can to expose SMCI also for what they're doing, because I want to say this, since, like I said earlier, being on lockdown, losing visitation, yard call, canteen, things like that, these things are a form of punishment. If you are understaffed, it is not the inmate's fault to continue to put them in a position where they're being punished out there like that. If you are understaffed, your job is to find a way to staff your facility and make sure that these inmates are afforded their rights and the things that they're supposed to have. They have no right to do that or treat those guys like that. If anything was to happen, they would put those guys on lockdown, and they would be in the same situation they are in now. So it's like they punish them regardless. With that being said, sis, I yield.
Okay, thank you for, the introduction of the topic. You know, we have to be the voice for those that currently are incarcerated, currently are behind enemy lines, currently are going through the suffering and the day-to-day abuses that, you know, the Mississippi Department of Corrections is guilty of perpetrating against our brothers and sisters. Now, we know that food, shelter, and clothing are basic human needs. But it's my understanding, and it's been well publicized, that even the food that our brothers and sisters are receiving, it says on it, not fit for human consumption, you know, only for institutionalized eating. And how is it that the government that is supposed to protect its citizens, its residents, its property even, if you want to look at it that way, how is it that they're able to continuously get by with this, continuously to reroute money that's supposed to be allocated for food, money that's supposed to be allocated for classes, money that's supposed to be allocated for rehabilitation, not just solely correction? How is it that they're able to get these millions and millions of dollars, not only from the taxpayers, but from the government itself, from the income that is generated by this free slave labor that they have with our incarcerated brothers and sisters, with even make our brothers and sisters pay for their accommodations, even though the state also is paying, how that is not double dipping. We've got a lot of things to look at. Because we've got a lot to talk about, and we have a lot of work to do. And with that, I yield.
Oh, good. I want to elaborate a little further on that. We do have a guest on the show today, Mrs. Karen Leonard. We really appreciate her being on today. She's been very instrumental. I'm going to kind of allow her to speak on that too in a few minutes. But I want to say a few things before I say that. KO, I see you too, fam. I appreciate you greatly for being on. And you too, see, I see you, fam. And I see Cole. We have some good people online tonight, and I appreciate y'all for tuning in. I need to say this. MDOC is a government agency. It's not just like a company. You know what I'm saying? These people receive government funding. These people receive taxpayers' dollars. For all you people who are family members and taxpayers on the outside, we ask that y'all understand this. When you go to a store and you spend your money, or you know look at your check and tax has been taken out, like this, part of this is where your money goes. These people are really not utilizing it the way it's supposed to be. I seen a post earlier, I think it was the day or yesterday, that said something about the prison system is using more money than they are on education. I want to say something about that. 2018, I want to say, $994,000, I want to say almost exact, was spent on education for MDOC. During this year, MSP, Mississippi State Penitentiary, was on lockdown. The unit of 29 was on lockdown for approximately, out of 12 months, approximately 9 months out of those 12. Go back and check the records. You'll be able to verify that. I said approximately no less than 7.5 months of those 12. These guys didn't get to go to school during this time. We recorded all this stuff. We keep up with everything that's going on with these people. These guys were not being allowed to go to school. I'm talking from basic education, GED, to those classes that they have, that they get certificates to, like welding, carpentry, culinary arts. They have classes like this in MSP. These guys were not going. The teachers, the instructors of the classes were coming. They were getting paid. They were coming. But the inmates were made to stay on the zones. They were not allowed to go. So for almost a year, or more than half a year, taxpayers paid money for no reason. They paid money for guys to have an education that were not being educated. All these guys who had to have certain certificates and things like that to just, you know what I'm saying, like, go home. Some of these guys had to have a GED in order to go home. A lot of people don't realize that sometimes these judges, when they give you sentences and things like that, they really... Excuse me one second, y'all. Sometimes when these guys get their sentences, the judge mandates, excuse me, I had to fall off for a second. The judge mandates that these guys have to get a GED before they go home. Okay, if I have to get a GED before I go home, and it's June, okay, I gotta get a GED. It takes, 6 months to get a GED? Okay, if I'm not going to school for like 3 or 4 of those months, how am I going to get home on time? That's not fair. That's not right. So it's like they prevent these guys from going home too, and I don't understand that. But then I'm going to yell real quick, sis. I gotta field a call to make sure that this everything is straight for the last part of the show.
All right, everybody. For those that are listening on your computer, you can dial in at 909-2807. 909-202-8707. We also want to remind you of the political education campaign that we're going to have coming up called Be a Voice for Me. And we really want to encourage people, even if you've never voted before, even if necessarily the majority of the candidates do not appeal to you, it is up to us to, one, vet these candidates to make sure that they are going to represent our best interests, if that's at all possible in this current system of democracy or plutocracy, depending on how you look at it, but also to run candidates of our own who will represent our voice, will represent the best interests of our people, and who will step forward and speak truth to power. The other thing is because there is such a shortage, the Department of Corrections in Mississippi and in other states, consider taking on some of these positions as employment. That way, we can get some of our people behind enemy lines, if you will, to, again, be the voice for those that do not have one, be a voice for those that need someone to speak up on their behalf and take some of those positions. I know there's a need for food service. There's also a need for security. And, you know, it's different when you come from our side of the fence than when you're coming in related and part of the nepotism system that we know exists not only in the state of Mississippi, but in Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio, and a lot of the other states that are involved with the Movement 720 and the Redistribute the Pay campaign. We also want to remind you that we do have social media pages. You can find Free Alabama Movement, Free Ohio Movement, and various other freedom groups. The sister that's on today is representative of one of those freedom groups on social media. And even if you only share a post, even if you only temporarily get involved. The thing is that all energy that is required needs to be brought forth now because time is running out. We know that the Department of Corrections in the state of Mississippi is not pleased with the exposure that it's currently getting, and we want to continue to rub them the wrong way because our brothers and sisters on a day-to-day basis are experiencing human rights violations and suffering at the hands of these people who are in positions of trust, who can be sued, and who are supposed to make sure that they're getting what they need medically, spiritually, from their food to their clothing to their shelter. For those that have seen those pictures on social media of parchment, of existing conditions in the state of Mississippi, it had to be horrifying to you. Otherwise, you must be completely heartless. Even with the negative comments that were made, there were more people who were saying, you know, despite the fact that you have the opinion that if you do the crime, you have to do the time. These are inhumane conditions. You wouldn't treat an animal like this. But here it is on a day-to-day basis. Our brothers and sisters are being faced with these obstacles that unfortunately are bigger than them, and that's why they need our help. So again, if you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 909-202-8701. If you're listening on your phone, push 1, and we will bring you into queue, and we will be here as long as we have to in order to get this thing done. With that, Brother Bim Bim, I yield back to you. Are you back?
Oh, good. I'm back. I want to say something real quick. I hope KO is around. Yeah, he is. I'm going to allow Brother KO to elaborate just a little bit further before we bring Sister Carol on. And from there, I want to let Sister Carol kind of introduce herself and let the guys know what was going on concerning fam and different posts and things that were shared. Brother KO, are you here, family?
Yes, sir. I'm here, family.
All good, fam. I'd like to elaborate anything concerning MSP, SMSI, CI, or the living condition, the inhumane treatment concerning these guys that are housed on the MDOC's authority. You can go ahead, family.
Oh, good, family. It's an honor to be here today, family. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be short and brief. The problem we got in the prison system within Mississippi is we need liberation. We got to do a political push to let it be known that the rehabilitation is not doing what it's supposed to do. And for a lot of you that don't know, rehabilitation is to restore someone to health or normal life by training and therapy after imprisonment, addiction, or illness. To restore someone to former privileges or reputation after a period of critical or official disfavor. or return something, especially an environmental feature, to its former condition. So the problem that's going on beneath those walls is they're doing the wrong thing. They rehabilitate, which is putting guys back to their old ways. We need to focus more on liberation, which is to set someone free from a situation, especially imprisonment or slavery, in which their liberty is severely restricted. Set free, released, let out, saved, rescued, free from enemy occupation. Release someone from a state or situation that limits freedom of thoughts or behavior. That's what we need. We need more liberation. We all know that about the lockdown situation that has been taking place in SMCI and MSP, and they blame it on shortage of staff. And the shortage of staff is blamed on low pay. So we have to form some type of a political awareness to get involved in economical issues within the Mississippi penal system. It's time to make a change. You know, a lot of guys, there's a lot of complaints coming out that guys not able to go to class. And to liberate, we have to educate. So if they have no education, they have no liberation. We all know about the budget. A lot of funds that's been mishandled within historical events, MBOC, and they still going on right now today. That's why it's low pay. Because Mississippi blame it and say that their economic issues rely on agriculture and fishing and things of that nature, but they leave out the penal system because they are receiving funds for the penal system. But the thing is, they're not doing the proper things that's supposed to be done with these funds, which is why we got to get politically involved in that economic issue, family. Like I said, I'm not going to hold the floor, family. It's an honor, man, to join in and give my briefing on a situation like that due to a lot of loved ones I have meet the Walls family. And I enjoy the show every time I call. And with that, I yield.
All good, family, all good. I want to elaborate for those who just called in. So, Harry, this situation with Lucius Bolton, the mother who I just described about how the chaplain basically called after she continued to try to get help and find out where was he located and things like that. That's a situation that needs to be looked into, too, because she stated how she wanted to make sure that didn't happen again. I want the people that's listening to know it's vital that everybody that goes through these things to come together. You have to unify. You all have a cause. You all have the same cause to make sure these things don't happen again. And I respect her because a lot of people that go through these type of things, they don't feel inspired after that. And I can understand it because you can never say how a person feels or react or can react after things like this. But I wanna try to strengthen those who've been through these type of things and say that you have help. You have a family, you have an extended family, you have people that are fighting for your loved ones each and every day, doing everything that they can to make sure that the public know how they're being treated is not right. Because of the effort, because of the will, because of the love, the time, the commitment, the cooperation, the service, it has been requested now through FAMM that Parchment, Mississippi State Penitentiary, be investigated, a federal investigation. I do want to state that throughout the years, it has never been done like that before. Since 1901, this certain prison has been the most atrocious prison in the state of Mississippi. from living conditions on down. And this is the first time this much attention has been drawn to the thing that's going on. And it's all because of the attention, the comments, the shares, the focus from the people. It's all behind that. And I need y'all to understand that's how much power y'all have. That's how much pull y'all have. That's how much authority y'all have in this world, because your voices count. And that's why we have a platform like the Movement 720 to make sure that your voice counts. So stand up. Please stand up and rise, because without you, we can't make this possible. And with that being said, I want to bring on another one of our angels, Mrs. Carol Leonard, to the show. How you doing, Ms. Carol?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All good, all good. Listen, for y'all that don't know, this is one of the coolest people I've met right now, y'all. She's cool people. And she's a fighter, and she's a soldier. And we want to respect her and thank her right now on the behalf of the Movement 720 for the work that she put in. With that being said, would you like to formally introduce yourself, and, you know, we can go from there.
Sure. My name is Carol Leonard, and I'm the founder of Prison Reform Movement. It's basically a social media movement to get people and, you know, people involved in prison reform. Let them know about the criminal justice system and what really takes place behind the bars. We can't always rely on the media to give us accurate information, so I rely heavily on those people that are inside, that are incarcerated, that are living this day to day, and that's what I base my advocacy off of. And I've been doing this since 2003. We've grown by leaps and bounds. And because of people that are inside and the formerly incarcerated as well, I have gained pretty deep knowledge with the system and how it functions. And I have to say that it's a huge fail. We have to do better. We know that we have to do better, and why we're not doing better is because of the money that's involved in the system. We have huge corporations that are funding mass incarceration, and they're raking in profits on human bondage. And you all know this to be true. I make no bones about it, and this is where it stands. It's not just government. It's also these huge corporations that are literally lobbying to put people in prison because they're making big money off of it. The phone service providers, food service providers, medical care providers, they're all making really big money off of people who are in prison and their loved ones. Basically, we're being raped by the system. There is no other way to put it. So I stand with the people inside and the people outside who are working to change this system, and hopefully one day we will make a massive change, because that's what needs to happen. I am tending to now favor abolition versus reform, even though, you know, my name is Prison Reform Movement. I like to educate on some abolition. Breaking it to the masses slowly, because the general public isn't really ready to have the discussion about abolishing prisons. But if we can take it to a place where they gather understanding about healing, restorative justice, and that these harsh sentences that are handed down aren't really what's going to make people better. The system, as it stands now, inflicts more trauma on the people that are inside and their families than it does to heal and restore. And so that's kind of where I'm at with this system.
Oh, good. Where are you at, Tyra?
I'm sorry?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Is there anything you want to elaborate on before I start?
Well,
I just want to thank Carol for joining us. We appreciate you, Carol, and the effort of the group. You know, it took a lot to be courageous enough to not succumb to the pressure and some of the comments that were being made. So we appreciate the fact that, you know, you stuck with it. You are committed to making sure that this story is heard and that some real concrete action takes place. So I yield with that.
Oh, good. This is Carol. Would you like to elaborate anything further on FAMM and their role in what's going on right now?
I would, but let me back up just a little bit further than that. On May 10th, some journalists, very well-respected journalists from ProPublica, came to the group. My group on Facebook is Prison Reform Movement, of course, and they wanted people that have loved ones incarcerated to speak up. They posted kind of like a questionnaire, and they are investigating what's really going on inside Mississippi's prisons. Now, Jerry Mitchell, he's with the Mississippi Center for Investigative Reporting. He's really done some great work in exposing Mississippi prisons years ago, especially with Christopher Epps, who we now know is doing 20 years because of the corruption behind the Mississippi prisons. That was a big scandal. Well, Jerry is really trying to dig deep. And his associate, Kenjo, have come to me and asked me, you know, to kind of rally the troops behind them. So that was posted in the group on May 10th. And then not even a week later, it was last weekend, a gentleman who is now outside of Mississippi prisons came to me and he showed me some pictures that were truly, truly abhorrent. The conditions inside Parchman, the Southern Mississippi Correctional Institution, SCMI, and so we talked for a few minutes and I said, well, we've got to make these, you know, public. We have to get this out there. And I can help you do that. So I posted them in my group. I posted them on my Facebook page as well. And I posted them on Twitter. Let me tell you, it wasn't even maybe 2 or 3 hours. They went pretty much viral. People from all over the globe were contacting me and retweeting, and the comments were pretty much all positive. How can this be going on in America? This looks like a third world country. What are we doing to our people? You know, we saw black mold in the showers, peeling paint. Two gentlemen that looked emaciated and out of it. One was on a bunk, one was on the floor, and then the food wasn't even identifiable. You know, except maybe some bologna and a biscuit. Everything else was absolutely unidentifiable. It looked like slop. The response was excellent and just what we needed. Another reporter from a major news outlet in Mississippi is currently working on a story, and we're hoping that it'll be published this coming week. And that's probably going to help blow the lid off of Mississippi, we hope. And in the meantime, last weekend, Sam was holding a conference in Florida. Well, we all follow each other on Twitter, and they saw some of the pictures. And somebody back in January had contacted a member of Sam, and she lost contact with that person. So anyway, to make a long story short, Sam saw the pictures on Twitter. They were pretty outraged. This really isn't an area that they work in as far as like exposing the prisons, but they were so outraged that they felt they had to do something. And so Friday, along with a press release, they wrote a letter to the Department of Justice requesting an investigation into Parchman and the Mississippi prison system. And so with that behind us, I really think that we're going to get some major traction on this. And it's very possible that the feds could be coming into the Mississippi prison system. It went to the Civil Rights Division because, as you all are aware, these are gross civil rights violations and gross human rights violations that we've been seeing and that the prisoners inside are exposed to. And so along with all of this that's going on, we're hoping for a great push and that we'll get things really moving there. And I believe the ProPublica investigation is also digging deeper into the monetary aspect of what's going on behind the scenes there. So I'm kind of anxious to see what they come up with. SAM is pretty much centered on the unsafe conditions and the constitutional violations and just the extremely unsafe and putrid living conditions that the prisoners are subjected to, you know, and it's all being blamed on understaffing. The money's there. Where's it going? And with that, I yield back.
Ms. Kara, I can tell you what's going on. Chris Vales was a perfect example for where the money is going. But I would like to elaborate on that. Thing is that, just like I said with the education, they received almost $1 million last year, and the guys didn't go to school. Okay? They have in Parchment and MHP, they have something called textile and, let me get it right, textile and it's one more thing that they do there. And those guys are guys that they house, BNA custody, and they go to work every day. And these guys, they build everything from the mattresses to the blankets, the pillows, the sheets, all the things that the guys use to wear, clothing and cloth things. And they also build the racks, the tables, the chairs, the benches, all the things that the prisons use to house the inmates and make sure they have the things on the inside that they have, with the exception of, like, TVs, you know, things like that. They buy those things. But they basically build a prison. These guys get, like, 36 cents an hour. They work 8 hours a day, sometimes 7.5. And they've been there 6-7 years working. And I think the highest raise that they have is 55 cents. How they are able to accommodate for the labor compared to what they get paid for these things, the public doesn't know that MDOC does private contracts with companies. I don't think none of that money has been reported. I don't think none of that has been reported. During the firing of Christopher Epps, there was also a superintendent by the name of Superintendent Lee who was forced to retire. And before he retired, there was beginning to investigate the fact that he had a lot of property on MSP that he was allowing the inmates to work on. None of this stuff was reported. And MSP continued to do these things to this day. The food itself, we have stories, Ms. Carroll, where guys were chopping up potatoes to be able to serve for the inmates, and they had maggots on them. And the people of the food company told those guys to cut off the maggots, to take that part off and feed them the rest of it. There are so many ways that you can show that MDOC, the money that's being paid for them to house these guys and make sure that they have what they need, is being misappropriated. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't have pictures and proof of how they're living. They wouldn't be suffering the way they're suffering if taxpayers' dollars were being used the way it's supposed to be used. So obviously they're misappropriating funds. I just would like for you to give the callers and the listeners any information they can give on who to contact, if they have any evidence or proof that they want to give to MDO, to those that are investigating MDOC, or the parents, if they have any letters, if they have anything that they can use to show that their family members are being mistreated. What would be the steps for them to take? How would they contact FAM? Who else would they be able to contact besides Jerry Mitchell, or even give Jerry Mitchell's information for the callers? We just need to make sure that they have all intel so that they can contact these people and give information that they need.
Okay. Well, in order to get a hold of Jerry Mitchell and his team, I have a cell phone number. It goes to Kenjo, and his name is spelled K-E-N-G-O. His last name is Tsutsumi, and that's T-S-U-T-S-U-M-I. And his email address is kenjo.tsutsumi. And again, that's T-S as in Sam, U-T-S as in Sam, U-M as in Mary, I, at propublica.org. And his cell phone number is 917-242-5929. And anyone with any information is encouraged to reach out and let them know what's going on inside. These guys are professionals. They will keep your identity anonymous. They will not reveal their sources unless, of course, you want to be revealed. They are, like I said, they are professionals. They've been doing this for years. They're very familiar with the MDOC and how it works. Jerry, like I said, has been doing this for numerous years, was a critical player in the Christopher Epps scandal. So they are above the board. They are trustworthy, and they're the ones that you really want to give your story to. Sam has requested that any family members or people inside that would like to contact them, they can do so. The president of SAM, his name is Kevin Ring, and that's R-I-N-G. And his email address is kring@sam.org. And again, everything is strictly confidential unless you wish to not be confidential. But family members and those inside that are able to get the word out, please, it is imperative to contact these people because they want to help. And they are the people that can help. You know, we really need to do what we can to make sure that we do expose MDOC. That's the only way that change is going to happen. And so I would encourage anyone that's listening, please do reach out. Again, highly professional individuals, strictly confidential. They would never publish anything without explicitly asking first. And they don't want anybody to get in any trouble whatsoever. And I just can't emphasize that enough. If we want to bring about change, these are the people that are willing to help us. And, you know, this doesn't happen all the time. As you well know, the living conditions that the prisoners are subjected to can go on for years and years and years. So this is a real big opportunity to get your stories out there, get the truth out there, which is the most important of all, and to expose MDOC. One other thing I'd like
good.
To say
we'll get
is
ready.
That
Okay, go ahead.
One other thing I'd like to say is anybody that would like to reach out to me to be the go-between, you can find me on Twitter under Prison Reform Movement or on Facebook under Prison Reform Movement or Carol Leonard. I'm always willing to listen, be a shoulder, and willing to direct you in any way that I can and try to help you in any way that I can.
Oh, good. We really, truly, truly appreciate you. And we thank you for being on. Carol, we want to extend our thanks on behalf of Movement 720 for you coming on the show. We're getting ready to close out. Y'all know how we do it every week. We just want y'all people to stand up and unify. This lady and Queen Sahara most definitely has been tremendous in making sure that guys on the inside have a platform. You have others also. We want to extend our hand of welcome to all those on the outside who would like to participate in being a part of change with these guys on the inside. is very imperative. We can't continue to let this stuff go on like this. You know what I'm saying? We got to do what it takes to get this done. And I appreciate all those who were instrumental in being a part of this, but we ask that you continue to be also. We can't allow these people to continue to get away with what they're doing. I'm just being honest with y'all. We just can't let it keep happening. And with that being said, we're getting ready to close out on the show. We thank y'all. This has been the Movement 720. And with that being said, we riding out, y'all.
What's up, everybody? Join the movement.
Thanks. Appreciate y'all, guys. As always, it's love, honor, and respect. This has been the Movement 720. We'd like to thank all of y'all who came out and listened, who's willing to participate, who have loved ones. We need y'all help. Without y'all standing up and doing what these people done recently to get attention, it's never going to get done. We need your comments, your shares, your likes, your emails, your participation, your cooperation, and your service. And with that, we can stop MDOC for being what they've been for years. And that's an inefficient management agency. With that, this has been the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Ben Bell, and my co-host, Queen Sahara. We thank you. We love y'all. Good night.